Exciting new breakthroughs in the field of sterility fertility. Hear the new news on Let Me Tell You, my original podcast. I'm Joan Hamburg, and the kind of information you're going to hear, you can find nowhere else. Welcome to Let Me Tell You, my original podcast. And we have a really interesting topic today. A new look at the growing field of fertility sterility and exciting new innovations. That means that if you've had a serious illness and they told you you could not have a baby, get pregnant, this kind of information can change your life. Also, women who decide to have a family after a certain age and are having trouble, the possibility of growing eggs from your own skin is not just science fiction. It's here. My guest is a famous physician, and he's got all the information straight ahead. Well, we had a really busy week. One of the days, I went to the New Jersey Shore, and I stopped at one of my favorite stores in Point Pleasant. I love Point Pleasant. It's got the kind of boardwalk that is a kid's fantasy. Did any of you, I'm sure my New Jersey audience has gone there. It was actually, all the goodies were closed, but it was cold but sunny. And we took a big walk on the boardwalk. And then we stopped right there on Route 36 South at Joe Leone's. It's my favorite. There are a couple of branches. It started as a bread bakery, and then the rest is history. It's fantastic. People wait in line. I came back with manicotti, lasagna, homemade mozzarella, all kinds of olives, prosciutto, Italian salami, fresh grated cheese. It's one of my favorite stops. We love it. And by the way, if you're looking for good things to do, there's a series at Carnegie Hall, Stern Auditorium, Perlman Stage, right at Carnegie Hall, on February 29th. It's a long event. It's a whole day. It's called History Talks. The tickets are expensive, but in fact, I went on carnegiehall.org, and the tickets started at $265. But if you go to goldstar.com, I found tickets starting at $99. And it's an amazing series that explores newsworthy topics and historic events. So we in the audience have firsthand conversations with trailblazers, global leaders, witnesses. And this theme, it's broad, but it works, is leadership and legacy. It's amazing. There are going to be historians, performances, prominent leaders, including Doris Kearns Goodwin, President George Bush. He's going to be interviewed by Doris. And Ronan Farrell is a guest, Billie Jean King, Gloria Steinem, a great series. And then the art show, which is something you're going to love. It's through February 28th. It's from the 27th through the 28th, 29th, March 1st at the Park Avenue Armory at 67th Street. It's so much fun to do that. Go to theartshow.tix, T-I-X-123.com, and you'll find out everything that's going on there. And they turn that armory into something really special. It looks gorgeous. And then, how could I not tell you this? I was sort of surprised by this. You know, we've always worried about retail. You know, stores are closing day and night. So what is retail going to do? You watch. This is going to be a big trend. You can rent clothes now at Bloomingdale's and buy lightly used designer clothing at Nordstrom's. Is that amazing? So go on to my list at bloomingdales.com and you're going to get all the information. And Nordstrom's actually has a resale shop called See You Tomorrow, and it's available too in a New York location, 57th and Broadway, and online at SYT Nordstrom.com. So take a look at those. That was sort of the events of the week. Lots of theater coming in. We'll fill you in. But I do want you to hear this, because if you're not in that age range, or you're a mother or you're a grandmother, you may know someone who's struggling with these issues and of fertility, sterility. And this Dr. Sherman Silber is a leading expert in the field. He has revolutionary new information. So join me. I'm Joan Amber. Once or twice a year, my friend Dr. Sherman Silber, who is one of the major pioneers in the field of infertility and microsurgery, comes to visit me. He is not a New Yorker, and he lives in St. Louis, where he runs one of the most cutting-edge infertility clinics. People come from all over the world to see Dr. Silber, and you know, Dr. Silber, I remember so many years ago when I first met you and you had to go back to St. Louis. You were as a consultant here to a big teaching hospital. And I said to you, is there anyone in New York that people can go to? And you said to me, there are two doctors now practicing. Two. That was a long time ago, right? Now, yeah, I don't have enough fingers to count all the practices.
It's really a burgeoning epidemic around the world, and of course New York has a high population of people and therefore a huge number of infertile patients, and so therefore New York has a lot of infertility clinics. But I would say that it's not just New York, it's all over the world, and what's happening is that society is changing, and couples are just deciding not to have children until they're older.
Right, they want to establish their careers and have money or whatever.
Or even see if they like each other, because they're not just marrying the first guy that they like at age 20 who will take care of them or something. And who, you know, then they're going to divorce a few years later. So they're more thoughtful about picking mates. And so by the time they're 35 or 35 to 40 is when couples seem to be ready to have children in this different era than when you and I grew up.
Right.
And 25% will be infertile by age 35, just because of the aging of the eggs. By age 40, 80% or more will be infertile. So infertility is an absolute epidemic everywhere in the developing world, all over the world, wherever you want to go. I just talked to a patient who actually was open about this in New York. He's not a famous person, but we became friends, and he went back to Kosovo, where he came from. And very good IVF program in Kosovo.
Right.
And he has three children now as a result of that. But he wouldn't have gone back home to do that if I didn't warn him that his wife at age 35 was losing her fertility.
Right.
And she hadn't been getting pregnant over a couple of years. They were casual about it. They figured eventually she'd get pregnant. No, her eggs are really getting older faster, and he needed to do something about it.
Well, I remember you telling me 30 years ago about egg freezing when it was so new, and you kept saying, I know this is going to happen, it's starting now, but there's no guarantee yet, we're still working.
Right.
And look what's happening now.
We did the first ovary tissue freeze for cancer patients in 1997.
Wow.
And I told these patients, like you said, I didn't know if this would be of any use to you, but there's nothing else we can do because you're going to be sterilized by your cancer treatment. So 90% of these young women with cancer nowadays are cured, but then they're sterilized by their treatment. And this was considered experimental. Well, now 23 years later, ASRM, just a couple of months ago, ruled that it is no longer experimental.
It's real.
And I'm going to brag, we are the only program in the United States that actually does this. There's programs in Israel and Denmark and Belgium that do this, but we're the only one in the United States, and it's finally been ruled as being not experimental.
It's real. And if a 25, 28-year-old, even 30-year-old freezes her eggs, are they viable forever, or do they have a time frame?
Well, if they're frozen properly, so I don't want to just be glib about it, there is a skill to doing it right with the vitrification technique. But with that one proviso, they're good forever. There's no shelf life. You're hoping that the clinic doesn't have a meltdown like you read about happened in Cleveland, which was a disaster. And it shouldn't have a meltdown. With all proper procedures, there should be no meltdown. But it's good forever. It's good for 100 years, 200 years. And so the woman can have a little bit of the pressure taken off her if she has her eggs frozen when she's still young. But the tissue is different for cancer patients. You don't have time to stimulate and freeze those eggs. So we would take out an entire ovary, freeze it, transplant it back. And now those first cases we did in 1997, my gosh, I mean, they've got 17-year-old ovaries and they're in their 40s, and one of them has four children with a fifth on the way. 80% of them have children without IVF, just with intercourse, because the ovaries functioning normally that we put back. But egg freezing is less invasive and easier if it's not a cancer case and there's no rush. Then egg freezing
you
is
can
an
do
issue.
That and then
and that works just beautifully also. It's phenomenal. So that's one of the great new things I wanted to mention, that we finally have approval, insurance should cover it.
And you can do it.
And we can do it, and although we're the only ones doing it, I must say it's easy to do. I think others were just afraid to do it because it was labeled as experimental.
Right, and it wasn't covered, and they have to deal with
insurance.
All those issues.
We did all those patients free for all those
right.
years.
Right. So what else is new?
This is pretty spectacular. We're not going to be able to apply it clinically, I'm guessing, for another 5 years. But for the last year and a half, we've been seeing patients that have completely run out of eggs, sometimes early, sometimes premature ovarian failure in their 30s. And we do a skin biopsy, and we convert those skin cells to stem
eggs.
Cells. And then it's a process. And then the stem cells to eggs.
Is that going to happen?
It's happening, yes. Now, we have many years of safety testing
of course.
Ahead of us, maybe 5 or 10 years. But that's happening with our patients right now. Any patient that is either extremely low on eggs or has very old eggs, we offer to do this because with this process, we're going to make young eggs.
But can you do that now?
Yeah.
And it's working?
Yes. We're like 55. We have the oldest we have so far is a 55-year-old woman.
Uh-huh.
With young PGCs, those are pre-eggs. Those
right.
are primordial germ cells, which we then convert into eggs. And like I say, that's a process that's going to take us probably several years to figure out in humans. We've already figured that out in the mouse, and it works, and we have baby mice, and the baby mice mm-hmm. are totally normal and grow up to be fertile. But the amazing thing is, just think about this. In the future, when we have this codified, a 38-year-old woman with 38-year-old eggs might be better off having a skin biopsy to make eggs than an egg retrieval from her ovaries.
How interesting. And we know it's going to happen, just like freezing eggs.
Yeah.
When people said, that's ridiculous, it's never going to happen.
Oh, yeah, 20 years ago they said this is. In fact, I told the patients I really didn't foresee this working, but it's the only chance you've got. And everybody.
And it works.
Yeah, and it works, yeah. And it's routine now.
You know, and especially when the world has changed so much, you know, I often think of my own parents and how they, in their 40s, I thought they were so old. You know, it's a brave new world, right?
Oh, my gosh. The studies now from actuaries show that women right now have a 50% chance of living to 100 with all their marbles. It's a little higher than for men, but that's pretty amazing.
No, it's pretty amazing. So if they have a baby at 50, they're okay.
Right, right. And many of them do. We have many women at age 50 having babies.
It's a fascinating approach. I'm talking to Dr. Sherman Silber, who is the, well, I call him, he's the director. He's the actual force behind the Infertility Center of St. Louis. And he deals with not only regular cases, but very complicated cases of infertility. And people who have failed anywhere end up, if they can get an appointment, going to see Dr. Silber, where he's developed all these amazing techniques. Why do you think we have such a large statistic when it comes to infertility? But well, is it really just putting off childbearing?
Well, of course, there's all the usual causes of infertility that we always had. Certainly about 5% of men are going to have extremely low sperm counts. 40% of men will just automatically have low counts. That's in the genes of the human being. But 5% will have severely low counts, and 1% will have zero sperm. But, you know, I call that biblical. That is infertility that we always had, but in low numbers. And there's always going to be women with PCOS, we call it, that aren't ovulating. And that's a very interesting phenomenon that we've studied. We think that's because these are women who were born with too many eggs. And so it sounds weird.
Right.
But those too many eggs inhibit their pituitary gland's production of FSH, and so they never recruit a dominant follicle and they don't ovulate. And when they're 45, they have less eggs because everybody loses 1,000 eggs a month. And then they start ovulating, but then the other problem is that the eggs are too old at 45. So that's an interesting problem, but that's fairly common, and that hasn't increased. That's always been a serious problem. But what's caused the epidemic increase, it's just exponential, is that couples used to have children in their 20s and have their vasectomy when they were 25. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that in this era. I'm sure your assistant here can't even imagine that. But really, when I was a young doctor, that was the way it was. Everybody had all their babies by the time they were 30. And now they're just thinking of having children when they're 40.
In their 40s, yeah, exactly. Right. I'm talking to Dr. Sherman Silber. And before I let you go, the question that I've been asking you for 30 years, all these treatments to get fertile, is there any link now between cancer and these treatments?
Well, actually, there are two answers to that question. We've studied for sure. Some women have had as many as 10 IVF cycles or more. And, of course, that means that the epithelial surface of their ovary has been punctured many, many, many times. And that epithelial puncture, for sure, would theoretically increase the risk of ovarian cancer.
But
so far, the studies are not showing any increase in ovarian cancer with multiple punctures. Mm-hmm. But we do know that that incessant ovulation, which is a new phenomenon also with birth control. In human beings, there was never incessant ovulation. You'd get pregnant, and you'd nurse the baby for 5 years, and then you'd ovulate again after 5 years and have another baby, and you might wind up with four babies in your life before you died at age 35 of old age. And it was just humans were different 10,000 years ago, and maybe even 200 years ago we were different that way. But now they go on birth control pills, and that prevents this incessant ovulation, and so it actually lowers the risk of ovary cancer. So the worry has been, from the very beginning, can incessant ovulation or multiple IVF cycles increase the risk of ovarian cancer? And the data now is very clear that it doesn't. It does not increase the risk of ovarian cancer.
Which is good news.
But the connection with cancer is big in a different way, is that women are being cured of cancer who never used to be cured of cancer before. It's just amazing. 90 or 95% cure rate with young women with leukemia and stage 4 Hodgkin's disease. We have so many of these women. And if you'll just, they'll be sterilized from that treatment.
But you can deal with it.
We can freeze the ovary and transplant it back 20 years later. We have 44-year-old women with 20-year-old ovaries who are just getting pregnant easily without even IVF.
Dr. Sherman Silber, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.